Live from Gulfstream Park in South Florida, this is a special edition of Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America, again live from Gulfstream Park. We're thrilled to be here. We're happy to be hosted by the folks at Gulfstream, always treat us very well, the great TV crew, and joined now by Bill Badgett from Gulfstream Park. A little bit later on, Tom Bellhouse from West Point Thoroughbreds. We'll also be joined by Samantha Perry, the handicapper, one of the team of handicappers here at Gulfstream. She'll give us some of her opinions, but we're starting things out with the Executive Director of Florida Operations for Stronach Group, Bill Badgett. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. Talk a little bit about Gulfstream and how excited you are this weekend, because it is a fabulous field in the Florida Derby. You know, full field. I was looking it up last night. Florida Derby has produced 3 of the last 10 Kentucky Derby winners, and certainly this year would be no surprise with the 2-year-old champion in Forte, who looks so good in his 3-year-old debut earlier. So talk about the weekend, and you guys have to be thrilled with the stakes lineup.
Yeah, we're really excited about certainly the Florida Derby with a 12-horse field, which is great to see the numbers in there. And with Todd being a fixture in the race with the favorite, maybe the favorite in the Derby. Possibly, but we're excited. The undercard races are phenomenal. We got a little lucky with the weather. Finally rained, which we needed desperately, so we're able to take the races off the turf for the last 3 days, which will give us a really, really beautiful turf course for tomorrow. And then obviously with the bets going on, with the $1 million carryover and the $750,000 carryover, then if we get lucky and nobody hits it on Saturday, the phenomenal pick six mandatory on Sunday. So it's really an exciting weekend. The weather worked out picture perfect, so we're excited.
I was just saying to you, I was talking to some people from up north here yesterday, and I said, yeah, our winter wasn't that bad, not that much snow. And I said, it's much nicer here. I'm very happy to be here enjoying this. Interesting, looking up, your career as a trainer earlier, and I was looking at the field for the Florida Derby, and you had a horse going back, Firemaker, who won the 1989 Withers in the 3-year-old debut, but at that point had raced 9 times already as a 2-year-old. I don't think any of the horses in the Florida Derby this year have more than 8 starts. Talk a little bit about how the game has changed, training and 2-year-olds into the 3-year-old season.
Yeah, well, it certainly changed from when I was training, for sure. And you look back and people say, well, the horses ran too much back then. But actually, they didn't. They were all, everybody was happy, healthy, and sound. And, even if you look back now, pushing the Florida Derby back to 5 weeks, people want more time between races. And it's worked out well for us by, and actually you see Oaklawn push their Derby back to 5 weeks too, and then the competition's got aggressive. But as far as I really don't know the reasoning. It's just I grew up underneath Woody Stevens. Yeah. Those horses ran every Swale breezed the half in on Thursday in 48 and ran into Belmont 2 days later, which people don't even blow horses out anymore or breeze horses.
Well, wasn't it constant? Keystor Jello was Monday in the Met, and then
5 days later ran in the Belmont. Yeah, so the times have changed, the horses have changed. The breeding's got a little bit more defined over the years, and it's a different game now. And even if you look, it's gets harder and harder for us to fill dirt races with everybody. Wants to run on the turf now.
Yeah.
So the game has definitely changed.
And you guys adding the synthetic track, that's been beneficial as well. We were talking when we did the handicapping show, because they're off the turf today. And the game probably could have run on the turf, except for a big day, just make it pristine for tomorrow. But they're off the turf today.
Right.
But the fields just hold together so well with the synthetic now.
Yeah, in the beginning, obviously, it was a question mark for all of us. But the horsemen have embraced it. Actually, more and more people are training on it. We had to open it up 3 days of training during the week instead of 2, and a lot of horses are breezing on it. And even if they run back on the dirt, like I said, the horsemen have really embraced it. And virtually, now it's it it's come into play why we put it in there, because there's so much rain here, and obviously when it rains, your field size went from 12 or 10 to 2 or 3 or 4. Now all the fields hold together because the peat is more like turf, so it's worked out great.
And as a handicapper, I have picks printed every day, and normally for turf racing and most tracks, I will also send in a set of dirt picks in case it rains. Because here I don't, because I think my handicapping is not going to change that much when it goes turf to synthetic. And I get the feeling for the horsemen, it's the same thing because they stick in the races.
Exactly. Yeah, it holds to the form holds true to pretty well from the turf to Tapita. So that's a great thing, especially like you guys that gamble a lot. The handicapping goes a lot easier. So.
And again, I will reiterate, tomorrow there's a $1 million late pick, five, a $750,000. That's I'm probably more into that, $750,000 late pick, four. Sunday there'll be the mandatory. So lots of great racing, but a lot of great wagering opportunities as well. Talk a little bit about the winter meet and how you feel it's gone. I interviewed Safi Joseph yesterday. He, at this point, is the leading trainer. I would think it would be hard for anybody to catch him. Certainly, Irad has run away with the jockey title. But, boy, it's been a great colony, and there's been notable performances during it. But you have Irad down here, Luis Saez, Jose Ortiz, Irad's brother, Javier Castellano on a resurgent kind of career, Tyler Gaffleone, always doing well, Joel Rosario. And I will note Junior Alvarado got his 2,000th career win here back in January, so that was a little news story. And then just a couple weeks ago, Joel Navas, I assume is how it's pronounced, won the first ride of his career. That's always, to see an apprentice jump on board and win in their first ride. So the jockey colony has been a lot of fun this winter.
Oh, without a doubt. Probably one of the toughest in the United States, actually, when you think about it. And it's great the horsemen embrace Gulfstream for the championship meet. And, you know, you get the best trainers, best horses, best jockeys. It just turns out to be a tremendous meet.
Yeah, and on the trainer side of thing, again, Safi's leading. Pletcher's a long-time leader down here, but Safi unseated him last year. You have Bill Mott, Chad Brown, Mark Cassie, come on. And then this year, talked a little bit about him on the Handicappers Report earlier. Because of the synthetic, I think you're drawing some of these guys who normally may take that off-season at Woodbine up, but a guy like Marty Drexler comes down with some of the Woodbine horses.
Yeah, Drexler, DiPaolo, Theranos, yeah, the Canadian guys, Attard, full barns, run their horses, and they've supported us quite a bit too. And like you say, the Peter track has helped with those guys coming from the north, certainly Canada, without a doubt.
And I also want to toss out, just because it was good to see this, last Saturday, Jimmy Toner, 3-for-3.
No, that was great. Yeah. Jimmy's a great guy. He's been coming down here for 50 years, whatever the case may be. And, it was exciting to see. We were really happy for him.
Yeah, I've interviewed Jimmy up in Saratoga in years past, and when he had a little run. I'm curious how many days he runs three horses.
Yeah, without a doubt. Probably not that many. But, he's a good horseman. He's had some good horses over the years.
Yeah, no question about it. Great trainer. But it was fun to see him go 3-for-3 the other day. You mentioned Woody, and we mentioned the horses in the Belmont Stakes, and Woody, you were an assistant for him and had that string of five straight Belmont Stakes. And when people talk about sports records, that's one they always kind of throw out as, well, that'll never be broken. Man. Now, were you there for all or part of that?
All five. For all five.
And what was the feeling around the barn as that progressed from year to year?
Yeah, it was nothing. Tremendous excitement, I can tell you that. And one thing about Woody, every single one of those horses was a different type of horse, different build, different breed. He treated every horse as an individual. That's why he was so successful.
And I will also, we talked a little bit about the difference in training and timing and whatnot. I will say, you guys were ahead of the curve down here with the five, because when I first got into the game, I remember the Wood was 2 weeks out, and that's not a thing anymore. But you guys at 5 weeks out, when it first happened, I think people were kind of feeling like that's a quirky place on the schedule to have it, but now that's become the norm and where the trainers want to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, a few of the trainers suggested it to us, and so we tried it for the first year, and it really worked out well. And like you say, it's been a tremendous prep for the Derby. even the horses that don't win it really seem to run well in the race. So it's become a great prep.
Yeah, I was, as I say, I was looking earlier. Three of the last 10 Kentucky Derby winners are from here. I haven't had one since Always Dreaming, but that was a Pletcher horse, and Pletcher may do it again this year. Nyquist in 2016, Orb in 2013, and it's a nice full field and having the champ this year. But again, a strong undercard of stakes as well. Talk a little bit about, you know, what goes into putting a day like this together. I'm assuming, as it is kind of the exclamation point on a season, as the, you know, the championship meet winds up this weekend, I'm assuming a day like this, a lot of work goes into it, going back weeks or maybe months.
Oh, definitely. For, you know, each, the progression of the races, you know, Holy Bull, Fountain of Youth, Florida Derby, Mike Lake out in his racing office do a tremendous job, and it's like, it's weeks and months out, you know, preparing for these races, you know, getting the people to nominate, you know, pointing for the races, setting up prep races for your big day. So, yeah, a lot does go into it, without a doubt.
And just before we let you go, talk a little bit about after Sunday, what, how's the schedule change and whatnot. And talk a little bit about how racing the rest of the year has changed down here, because I know a lot of the big outfits keep horses here all year long.
Yeah, it's like I said, they have embraced it. We've been able to raise our purses, become competitive with a lot of the tracks around the country, which has helped. You know, money makes people stay in certain places throughout the year. But
if you build it, if you offer it, they will come.
Right, without a doubt. And now with you know, the turf, tapeta, and dirt gives the horses so many options. You know, so that certainly helps us. And then right after the right after Sunday, we go to 4 days a week because most of a lot of the outfits, yeah, will ship out to Kentucky and New York and back there. And then we have a kind of a little bit of a shift, you know, maybe some people from Tampa, maybe some people from New Orleans, you know, Louisiana circuits kind of come in to kind of fulfill the stalls that are vacated. And then we'll do that up until June 11th, and then we go to 3 days a week throughout the summer.
Very good. And as I say, some of the big outfits hang around, and Safi, of course, is a Florida guy to begin with, and so he'll certainly stick around with a lot of his horses as well. And that's one nice thing about, you know, down here and the winter season and whatnot, because not only do you have the barns here at Gulfstream, but you have Palmettos and Palm Beach Downs and Payson Park, so you have a lot of the outfits and a lot of horses to draw from during
this
championship season.
Philip,
those 5 days a week. Bill, really appreciate the visit, and again, we thank you and everybody here at Gulfstream for hosting us on these weekends, because, as I say, it's nice to get out of the weather up there, but come down for a big weekend like this is a lot of fun for us as well, and you've done a great job, you and your team here, you and the team, with the great card over the weekend and great betting opportunities. So, again, really looking forward to the racing. Appreciate your visit.
I appreciate you. You guys do a great job. We appreciate you coming down and supporting us, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Bill Badgett, Executive Director of Florida Operations for the Stronach Group. We will take a break. When we come back, he's in the green room, as it were. Tom Bellhouse, West Point Thoroughbreds. West Point with some horses in the stakes tomorrow. We'll hit on those and more right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
And you get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah. To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. And if you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream. It was like this big fairy tale place. All the history.
Shoemaker sitting perfectly still. He hasn't touched this magnificent Golden
meeting all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything I ever dreamed of.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. It's always great to wind up in a different location and see a familiar face. And come down here to Gulfstream, and there's Tom Bellhouse. Ran into Terry Finley as well from West Point Thoroughbreds. But somebody yesterday said, man, you're like one of the most regular guests. And I had to think about it. I think some of the handicappers we have on more regularly. But then I thought, you're probably our most regular on-the-road guest because we've had you on the setup at Woodbine as well.
I'm it's my pleasure. And I also think of all your guests, I don't know if anybody watches you more, though, you know, so.
I do get the catchphrase rundown from you. I don't even realize I do it that much, but then when you say it, I think, oh, okay, yeah, probably.
Well, it's nothing but appreciation for what you do on a day-in and day-out basis, especially the two of us here in South Florida. You know, we're up in Saratoga, you know, during the winter months, so when you're on the network, and I have you, I work from home now, and I have you on the screen there, so it's always, you're always in my other ear, so to speak.
I hear that a lot. I hear from wives a lot. I'll be at the track, and the wife will say,
I know
yeah,
that voice.
She's watching it all, whatever, I say all of that works. So again, Tom Bellhouse from West Point Thoroughbreds, and they have some runners tomorrow. We'll talk about some of those, but before we do it, when I ran into you the other day, you said you had come down, you'd kind of been back and forth because you and the team had been over at Ocala. They had a two-year-old sale last week, and those two-year-old sales have become very, very popular, certainly on the high end. They've been doing very well the last couple of years, and you said you guys picked up some horses for West Point.
We did, and the first sale of the year, OBS March, traditionally has been a two-day sale, and then they come down here to Gulfstream for the Phasic sale, right, actually this week usually, right before Florida Derby. And they did not have the Phasic sale at Gulfstream this year, so they started at OBS with 3 days, 800-plus horses. We were able to come away with four horses from the sale. I think we really have concentrated at the two-year-old sales to kind of going back to our roots of looking for good athletes, not as concerned totally with pedigree or stallion making pedigrees and things like that. And we came away with three horses in that, 100 to 150 range, which in the past, the early days of West, that was our sweet spot. And we got a beautiful Connect filly that's going to go to Tom Morley. Tom was down at the sale with one of our partners, Mike Lydon, who owns with Tom, and we were able to get that done. A Catalina Cruiser colt from the first crop, two-year-old crop of Catalina Cruiser, that'll go to Cherie DeVoe. We got a Blame colt with Dallas Stewart. Dave Berman, one of our longtime partners, owns with Dallas as well. We partnered up with him. And then the big colt, we did take one big swing on a curling colt, out of a grade one winning mare, and we got the band back together. Mike Talla on the West Coast, and the Lanes Inn crew, the Woodford crew. So that horse will go to John Sadler. So to get four horses right at that first sale, and trying to stay disciplined to not overreach. And there was a couple that we had put some groups together to jump in on, and we kind of got run over. So, but it's a long year. We got we go back to OBS. There'll be 1,200 horses there at the end of April. We have Timonium, a couple sales there. And if we need more inventory, you always have OBS June as well. But it's an exciting time. It was very well received. All the horses sold out in a few days, which is one of the reasons I'm down here in such a good mood. And actually going to take my wife on vacation next week.
There
you go. So very, very, very happy. And can't thank everybody for the support we've had. It's been an amazing amazing run, and then to come and start the year where you're always, you know, something bad in the world always happens OBS March. This year it was the collapse of the bank in the West Coast, and one year it was COVID. Everything, there's always something happening at OBS March. We joked that, you know, just keep your eyes open, what'll happen. But it's been a wonderful few weeks for us.
Yeah, and I always tout you guys have really one of the better websites. Folks can go and follow your horses, whether they want to become involved or not, or if they want to learn more about becoming involved. We'd always talk the various partnerships, if people are curious about that. There are various levels as well, but you can check out the West Point Thoroughbreds, Google West Point Thoroughbreds, and you'll find the website. As I say, you guys do a great job of kind of keeping things up there. And also, you know, you talked about getting horses. I'm assuming one of the things also is now you've kind of branched out, and so you want horses at different venues and different locations. And I say that because the other day when I was in handicapping, I want to say it was an Oklahoma bred you guys owned that had been racing at Remington.
Right. It was a horse that we bought at Ocala. I guess it was last year. Was a stakes winner at two with Steve Asmussen. And, you know, those state bred programs, as you know, whether it be Louisiana, New York, Pennsylvania, and in this case, Oklahoma, if you can take advantage of those stakes programs, actually in this year, I think we bought, we were looking at an Ontario bred for Canada as well, because you and I, we like Canada.
Yeah.
But no, it's, if we can take advantage of those programs, it's awesome. And our partner base right now is diverse enough across the country that, you know, we're able to support horses in almost all of these circuits.
Let's get into it. Tomorrow in the Ghost Zapper Grade 3 event, you have First Captain, comes back, hasn't been seen since the Fayette in October at Keeneland, but I pulled up a replay that they'll play from the Pimlico Special last year. This is going back to last May, and First Captain, the winner of last year's Pimlico Special. It's the five-year-old debut. What are expectations for First Captain tomorrow in the Ghost Zapper?
Well, it's a starting point. It's a big year for First Captain. The Pimlico Special was obviously the highlight of our season last year, a thrilling win. Louis Saez just rode his ears off and got him up in the nick of time. It was a thrilling race. You know, he's a horse. He has the whole package. You know, he was a $1.5 million sale topper. He's curling out of the Bobby Flay Mare America. We thought so much of the pedigree, we bought the full sister last year, who's another spectacular individual. So here we are. We're coming into the five-year-old season. We're a two-time graded stake winner. We won the Dwyer. We've won the Pimlico Special. We lost the Suburban by a nose. We ran third to Olympiad in the Jockey Gold Cup. So we're knocking at the door on a grade one to really make him that high-level Kentucky Stallion, because he has the pedigree. He has the confirmation, the price tag. He has everything. We really kind of need that grade one to put the final stamp on it. And in a handicapped division where there's no clear-cut leader right now.
And so this is kind of a starting point, and maybe we'll see him up at Saratoga.
Well, I mean, something will have had gone wrong if we don't. I mean, he's going to be there. And,
Is the sibling a two-year-old?
Yes, just turned two.
So, named?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I will let you know.
Okay,
it's one of those that full sister, and she just turned two. So.
All right, very good. So maybe we'll see her up at Saratoga.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Also, this is kind of interesting. I pulled up the eighth race. It's the Orchid Grade 3 event on the turf tomorrow, and you guys are partnered in with others on Atomic Blonde, a German bred that had been racing in Italy. I don't remember seeing too many Euro imports from West Point.
We've had a few over the years. I think most of them kind of came into fruition when we, you know, our relationship with Christoph Clement. He's obviously one of our leading trainers. We have like 15 horses with Christoph across the East Coast. And you know, he has a pipeline. His brother Nicholas trains over there, and he has a strong pipeline to Europe. Christoph went to the Deauville sale this year in November. I believe he bought six horses, a couple for Bobby Flay, a couple for Moigler, Claiborne, and he bought on two that we became part of, one being Atomic Blonde, who is a four-year-old, and then the other was a two-turning three-year-old named Lady Mia, who is going to run next week here at Gulfstream. There's a starter. Because she ran in Europe in the first race in a claiming race, she's starter eligible here in the States.
Oh, okay.
So if everything goes well, you'll see her next Friday at Gulfstream in a starter, and she's been training lights out. So either that or an A other than if that race doesn't go. But Atomic Blonde has been training with the other Clement horse in the race. They were bought at the same sale. The other filly was they paid a lot more than our filly, but it's an exciting time to debut a horse on Florida Derby Day, and these turf routes. We've always been a big fan, going back to Twilight Eclipse and some of our other horses, and to have a filly who excels at those distances, and I think this is a great starting spot with Jose Ortiz up and figure out exactly what we got.
Yeah. It's a mile and a half on the grass, and Atomic Blonde coming in from Italy. Hasn't been seen since October, but she'll be fun to watch. And then a little earlier on the card, it's not a stakes race. It's an optional claimer, non-winners who won, but Giant Game for West Point and Company. And I interviewed Dale yesterday, and we'll have him on tomorrow, but I asked about Giant Game. He said Giant Game, one of his favorite horses. So talk about Giant Game tomorrow.
Dale loves them all, doesn't he? Now, Giant Game is a horse that's given us a lot of thrills. Took us to the Breeders' Cup a couple years ago. Ran third, I believe it was Corniche. And it made a huge move on the turn, and it gave everybody a thrill. Had some breathing problems his 3-year-old season, and kind of really never got his feet under him. Not like he grew a ton right then. But coming into his 4-year-old season, we did some throat surgery, and you can see that he's running his races like, hey, I can breathe. I can. And the last one.
Yeah, we had the replay. Ran second to American Prince.
And if you look at the break, the ground went away from him at the break. So he really spotted the field. Now, it was a fast pace, so that might have been a little bit of a benefit. But he come running, and we're excited. I mean, obviously, there's a couple of really nice horses in there. The Todd Pletcher horse is well thought of, but I think you're going to see Giant Game give a great account of himself tomorrow.
Yeah, it was a lifetime best buyer last time. And again, ran second to American Prince. That was the second start off a layoff. So tomorrow's going to be third start off a layoff. That's often an improved effort as well. When you sat down, I said, what do we talk about? I'm going to go over some races, anything else? And you mentioned, and I said, I already have it, a little flight line. Have to hit on flight line and just talk. You know, I talked to Terry a few months ago about the whole flight line year and whatnot, but I'll get your thoughts because you've been with West Point for a long time now as well. And for a partnership, this just has to be and for a partnership that is, you know, Saratoga-centric in that you guys live up there and whatnot, purchased at Saratoga flight line and then had the undefeated season, the spectacular undefeated career, highlighted by Eclipse Award, Breeders' Cup victory, and then he was named best racehorse in the world. And what does that mean to a partnership? I mean, you guys have been around for years, and to wind up and put that exclamation point on things had to be incredible.
It almost took a while to sink in. All joking aside, we know that a lot of times people around the world don't take American racing. You know, it's not always on the proper surface, and you know there's medications allowed in the United States and things like that, and they don't always hold our racing in the same regard. But to have this horse be recognized, racing his whole career medication free, and to be recognized in the world stage as, you know, they gave a number, his rating number was the same with given Frankel. And it was something like everybody in the room, Terry was there with the principal owners, they all went over, and everybody in the room like gasps. And that's when it kind of hit, like, you know what, we knew what we saw, but now the whole world knew. And I think you've probably heard the story. A few days before her death, Queen Elizabeth reached out to Mr. Farish about Flightline, asking questions about it, which, I don't know, it just always was like, if you watch The Crown, you know that she loved racing. And but it was really kind of like put it all in perspective, like how an impact he had.
But you also bought him at Saratoga, which just brings the whole thing full circle.
It's one of my
I remember the night. I remember talking to you guys.
I remember that night as well. there's a funny picture. of Terry signing the ticket. And we go to sign the ticket, and Terry goes, I can't find my glasses. Give me your glasses. So I'm like, okay. I hand him my, we had different prescriptions and everything. So he takes my glasses, and he's filling out the ticket, and making sure I'll get all the right names on it and such. And then he looks at me, and he goes, does it look right? I go, you got my glasses. I can't see anything. So it was a funny moment in time. And I mean, I think I've mentioned this to you before, but if you believe in, you know, we bought flight line on the first night, first captain on the second night. One was $1 million, one was 1.5, right? Crazy money. Both of them have a setback their two-year-old season the same week. One in Ocala, and one in they're both in Ocala. One was at one farm, one was at another. Fast forward to April of their three-year-old season, they both debut and win on the same day. So I mean, it was just like so much good karma, and just I don't think, you know, for us, we always, you know, we're knock hard knocking. We, you know, you get one here, you think you're going to have the next great one. But to have, and we won the Derby, and we've been, you know, knocking at the door in a lot of big races over the years. But when, you know, when's it going to be our turn? When are we going to? And then to have a horse like this, that it's beyond humbling. And you know, I tell people all the time, the Met Mile was a race that, you know, being a New Yorker, a Long Island kid at Belmont Park, I mean, it was exhausting, though, the missing the break, getting shut off. When the race ended, everybody's like, oh, you're happy. I was like, I was exhausted, you know? I was like, I just was glad it was over. And then when we ran in the Pacific Classic, we had run in the Jockey Gold Cup that day with first captain, run third. And then we win the nightcap with a maiden claimer, and it gets claimed, right? So half the people are happy, half the people are sad. So we ended up having a little watch party at King's Tavern across the street. So we get over there, and then all of a sudden, you know, the race is on, and halfway through the race, there's not a – you could hear a pin drop in that place, and you've been there. It's a quiet place. And all of a sudden, he starts to open up, and the place goes bananas. And that one was like – I told people that was like the first race he ran where I just totally – enjoyed it, and you know, laughed, cried, you name it. It was just wonderful, and to have a lot of our partners who didn't go to California there with us was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think people don't realize when you have a special horse like that. Certainly, I've heard trainers talk about it, but owners as well. When you have a special horse like that, there's a certain amount of stress involved as well. Hey, let's keep that record intact, and everybody's expecting us to win, and so I can see where it would be stressful.
Well, we win the Breeders' Cup on Saturday, and my wife's birthday is always the week, basically the first week in November, so it's always Breeders' Cup week. So we usually go somewhere for a few days afterwards, kind of exhale.
Yeah.
So we had planned, oh, we're going to be at Keeneland. Why don't we drive down to Nashville for a couple days? So we're in Nashville like 2 days. She looks at me. She goes, do you want to go home? I'm exhausted. And I was exhausted from the whole week, you know, the stress of it. And here we are. We just start driving back towards home. It was like we had this big trip planned, and we were just so tired. But it was, you know, it was just amazing. And to have a horse that so many people are interested in, and now – you know, we get updates. It sounds like 30 or 40 mares in foal already, which is just wonderful news for everybody except the insurance companies. You know, well, actually, they made out well on that.
Yeah.
The fertility guys were okay.
Were you at the virtual sale?
I was in Nashville. A funny story. I was sitting outside a brunch place waiting, and I have it on the iPad, and Karen goes to me right before it starts. She goes, what do you think? And I said, you know, with all the excitement of last week and how he did it and the Pacific Classic, I said somebody might go 3 million, and that's, you know, a share was 1/40th, so that would have been a $120 million valuation. She goes, really? I said, I just got a feeling. And then all of a sudden it went boom, 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 4.6, and I'm just sitting there going, oh my God.
You know? Yeah, so. No, the whole ride was incredible. And for folks who aren't familiar, 2 days. It was 2 days. It was Monday, right? 2 days after the Breeders' Cup victory, there was a virtual sale
at Keeneland.
Over at Keeneland, and you guys were first up, so everybody knew, right?
Yeah, basically they did it at high noon, I think, on that Monday, and the place was packed, from what I understand. I wasn't there, but I saw it on, you know, on street live stream. And basically, they did this virtual flight line dancing around in the ring, and that you had to be a registered bidder. So they had an idea who would be bidding, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
So
it at the like I say, the whole ride was incredible, from the purchase at Saratoga on through the career, the undefeated career, the Breeders' Cup victory. And again, it's got to look great for a partnership on the website to say, yeah, we own the world's best racehorse.
I mean, it's humbling. You know, yeah. It really is. Because, you know, one thing I learned a few years ago was when Commanding Curve ran second to California Chrome, how much it meant to everybody that was a part of West Point, not just the people who owned Commanding Curve, but all the other partners felt a connection to that horse. And it was like, it changed my point of view a little bit on how I approach our partnerships, because let's face it, we're going to buy, let's say, 40 horses a year. Over 20 of them aren't going to be what we dream of, you know? And that's good. I mean, that's above industry average. But, you know, so the thought of you having to take emotional possession of the whole stable, and I think we saw that with Flightline, how many of our partners and you know, people from Saratoga, because he was bought in Saratoga, and, you know, felt connected to him, and he never let you down.
Yeah, that was an incredible story. I was happy for you guys to, you know, been at it a long time and to have that happen. Tom, we got to let you go, but appreciate your stopping by. And again, wish you and everybody good luck tomorrow with the entrance in the stakes races and beyond. And we'll talk again.
My pleasure. Great seeing you, Steph.
Same to you. Tom Bellhouse, West Point Thoroughbreds. We'll take a break. Samantha Perry will join us, give some of her thoughts on the big day tomorrow right after this. Stay tuned.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart.
Back to Racing Across America, as promised before the break, joined now by Samantha Perry. You see her some mornings, the pregame show, some races, paddock commentary, sometimes out on the course.
Yeah.
You're all over the place. I know we've talked to you by phone before from the studio up in Albany when you were at Monmouth, but this is much nicer, at least certainly this time of year.
This time of year, most definitely. I haven't had to scrape any snow off my vehicle.
I was saying earlier, I ran into some people from up there, from up north here yesterday, and winter wasn't too bad up there. I said, it's still much nicer down here.
Yeah, exactly,
Even it wasn't that bad of a winter, but I like it much nicer. All right, let's jump in and get some of your thoughts on the Florida Derby tomorrow. And the one thing I'm interested in asking a lot of people, when I handicapped the race, a mile and an eighth here at Gulfstream, Forte in the 11, I looked for an alternative. I just think he's too good in here. So I'm Forte. I played around Nautical Star, I think, is interesting. Fort Bragg. I'm usually old Jungfrau at 20-1, the Bill Mott horse. But what are your thoughts on the Florida Derby?
Yeah, I mean, Forte, I think, is, I don't want to say unbeatable because every horse can be vulnerable when the starting gates open, but he's just too good right now. Even coming in from Fountain of Youth to now, he was a little, I don't want to say drawn up coming into the Fountain of Youth, but I would have liked to see him with a little more weight. When he was been schooling in the paddock here, he looks even better.
Wednesday.
Yeah, he looks much better coming into this race, and it just goes to show that he's just an athlete.
Yeah, no, so by your eye, he wasn't in tip-top form and still had that great win in the three-year-old debut. Because that was a nice performance. You always wonder, is the two-year-old champ going to come back?
And he did, in a big way, right? Yeah.
So you're with Forte, anything clever underneath?
You know, I think that you could run this race about 10 different times and you would get somebody underneath every single time. A lot of the trip will play out. I like Fort Bragg underneath. I think he's set up to run a pretty nice race. And he's got that California speed, which helps well. I know a lot of people do like a Nautical Star. To me, this horse is a sprinter. I don't see it. I mean, maybe that can carry him through. I'm just not, and he's an Okie bred, and listen, that so am I. So, you know, and I know these connections from Oklahoma and Remington that they bought this horse from, but he's a very efficient mover when you watch his works, but to me, it's a sprint moving horse.
I like two turns I like two sprints to a two turn in the third start of the career or third start off a layoff. So I kind of went with that angle, but you may be right. Might just be a sprinter.
Anything can happen, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reasoning, too, because as you say, you get past Forte, and really I think anything can happen.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And then we were talking before you went on, you had a idea perhaps in the race just prior, the Appleton on the grass at a mile. I thought Stryker was a little bit interesting, Fort Washington. Brian earlier mentioned, your colleague Brian Edo mentioned Fort Washington. I have that word. One right underneath for Shug, Steady On for Todd and Mike Rapoli's interesting. Your thoughts on the Appleton?
I am completely sold on Gray's Fable for Brian Lynch, the three horse. Before his race, whenever he was coming off that layoff in February, Brian said, you know, I have to run him, but I wish I had more time with him. He still ran exceptionally well. And he's 8 years old. So he's seen it all before, but he ran really, really well. I think he's only going to move forward from this. And he's a big, heavy gray. He carries a lot of weight. But this is a horse that he's won a lot of races, and I think he's got the back class here.
Second start off the end of the year layoff, mm-hmm. and the first start was a nice come.
It was.
And Joe Rosario's riding very well.
Yeah.
So I didn't use that one, but I looked, and if the morning line holds up, may toss that one in.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. There's a lot of different ways you go in that race as well.
Just have about a minute left, but curious, you still going out in the morning and getting on horses?
Nope, I moved down closer. I was living by Palm Meadows, and so I was getting on horses there, but just enjoying the sunshine right now.
That all works. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
We will certainly be tuned in today, tomorrow, throughout the weekend to you and the whole team. And again, I do the handicapping show in the afternoon from the studio up in Albany. And I live vicariously watching you guys. You guys do a great job. Watch the pregame show. You do a great job. And the paddock
Thank
commentary
you.
As well.
It.
So I appreciate you stopping by today.
And it's great having you guys here.
Yeah, we love coming down. It's always a lot of fun. Great TV crew. And great dealing with you and Ron and Brian and Claudia and whatnot. So again, appreciate your stopping by. Good luck tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you. You as well.
All right, we'll wrap it up for this Friday edition of Racing Across America live from the Gulfstream Park paddock. It's been a lot of fun. But we'll be back at it tomorrow. 8 a.m. tomorrow with the handicapper support. And then 8:40. Oh, Steve Bick will be sitting in with me. Handicapper support tomorrow, so you know it's going to be fun. 8:45 Racing Across America. And again, we've already taped some Safi Joseph. We talked to Shug. We've talked to Dale. We'll get a couple more interviews and have some live folks in here tomorrow as well. That all kicks off at 8 a.m. So have some fun this afternoon. Make some money and get ready for tomorrow. Big day, Florida Derby Day. We'll see you at 8 a.m. We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.